It's Monday.
It's July 27th.
And the word of the day is musculus, which is Latin for little mouse. Hat tip to Susie Dent for this one. Used in a sentence, Romans thought a bicep muscle on a usually naked athlete resembled a mouse scuttling under the arm skin, hence musculus.
Meanwhile, the athletes were like, well, it's actually a pretty good-sized mouse from what I've been told.
I'm just impressed you're in touch with that lesbian from the Peanuts comics. That's great, man. That's really cool.
You're thinking of Calvin and Hobbes. I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, Trump finds a new way to bomb.
Americans will shit themselves to death with measles before they'll vote for a black lady.
And Republicans get mad about the ethnic retcon of the epic poem they definitely all read.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow skeptic rats, No Illusions, and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, we've done some petty grievances to start, but
I think we
mix it up this week with some petty appreciation, you know, for the little things.
Okay.
So anything sparking joy for you in the little things?
SpaceX's stock price.
Is little. It is very, very little. Yeah. I don't know. Am I allowed to be grateful that one Heath Bethesda Enright is back from his vacation?
Fuck yeah.
The band's back together, babe.
Yeah. All right. My petty appreciation is I went to France and I had sandwiches with butter on them. And it's the best. Just butter, ham, cheese. That's such a great sandwich.
Sure, sure.
We don't butter enough sandwiches.
You come back and you tell yourself like you're gonna do that, but everything here is worse. You're trying to put. I can't believe it's not butter on Wonder Bread.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's just there.
The butter's better. The bread's better. So like they got a lot going on there.
I mean, post heart attack Mia thinks that we butter plenty of shit here in the Americas. So.
Butter.
Don't be
your
that
bacon.
Guy. Put butter on your sandwich.
All right, let's talk about the news.
Sure.
In our lead story tonight, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was a failure once again, but in a different way it failed. After having to reschedule, thanks to that wobbly piece of shit Antifa hired on Fiverr, take it serious. The event happened on Friday night in Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump did comedy, asterisk. For years, I've been saying, I want a Donald Trump special on Netflix where he does comedy, but Netflix won't listen. Well, we finally got to hear his tight 64 about his grievances.
God.
It went badly.
Yeah, you know how karaoke night at the office is hard to enjoy the day after the boss murders Janet from HR with an axe?
Yeah,
it was
right.
Sometimes that's true, yeah.
A lot like that. Think about what it takes to be a failure at this, right? Like, you guys remember when George W.'s wife did it and she like pronounced every joke like a Russian prisoner pronouncing them phonetically. The audience at this thing was pining for her.
Yeah,
she's doing like semaphore, like help me signs.
Yeah. Prop comedy, Carrot Top is throwing her stuff from off stage.
Okay, well, spoilers, pinning that. So I'll start by noting that the event was it was a bringer show, not great. Trump had plenty of lackeys to pad out that audience, and he still managed to bomb so fucking hard. He started by attacking the part of the room that he didn't bring, describing the news media in general as the largest group of Trump derangement syndrome people ever put together at one time. But that's not a problem for Donald Trump, because all the real news comes from TikTok, and he's number one on TikTok. No, he's not. He made that claim, though. But just for the record, he has about half the followers of Taylor Swift, and he has about 10% of the followers of the top creators on TikTok. So, Donald, maybe, like, do a fucking dance. You got to learn the format.
Yeah, right? Cut to us doing a 40-minute sketch where Tall Tyler tries to teach Sarah, Melania, and Trump how to floss.
I like that his dance is YMCA and he's blowing
I'm pretty sure the top performing video on TikTok right now is the guy doing that dance behind him during the speech.
So Trump also spent some time getting excited about the beautiful venue for round two. His ballroom at the White House is currently inside a plywood box, like a coming soon Outback Steakhouse in a mall. So they couldn't use that. Instead, the event took place at the Waldorf Astoria in D.C. Trump mentioned that he used to own it, which is just a weird flex. It's like Eli mentioning that he used to own a Toyota Camry before
too
something went
soon.
Terribly
oh,
wrong.
Wow. Too soon.
Wow.
How dare you? It's been a month.
But Trump got distracted by a shiny object, as he is wont to do, and he said, "See those beautiful chandeliers? I can tell you everything about them if you'd like to know." And that was followed by about 10 seconds of hard silence and one guy taking a very loud bite of salad. It was fun.
Yeah, 8 seconds in, Elon yells from the back, "How fat was she?"
it felt like he expected someone to have questions about the chandeliers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he wanted to back that up.
It wasn't rhetorical. Nobody. Fuck.
And okay. That would have been awesome because he doesn't know anything about those chandeliers.
Right.
So they would have been like, "Yeah, what are the light fixtures made of?" And he would have been like, "Kill that guy." Shoot him in the fucking head.
Where's that gunman? So, in fairness, this is going to be crazy, but despite my moderate to severe TDS, I'm willing to admit that Trump that Trump did get some laughs. Well, two. There were two, I would say. The first one was really just a rescue laugh that started with another bomb of a joke about the gerontocracy on Capitol Hill. That was coming from an 80-year-old man who once bragged about acing a cognitive exam by reciting person, woman, man, camera, TV, or something like that. And that was a while ago. I don't think he would pass that test anymore. So he did his joke. Nobody laughed. And then he said, "That was actually the only thing I thought was good in this whole fucking stupid speech."
So like, that's great.
Right off the dome, he got a chuckle. He got a chuckle. The only joke that actually landed was when Trump roasted RFK Jr. for being, you know, crazy and off-putting. Donald Trump finds RFK Jr. crazy and off-putting. And Trump got visibly excited for this part. He was like, "I got a good one coming." He stumbled through his old-timey pitcher's wind-up for his joke, saying, quote, "I hope that everyone finally got to enjoy their entire very delicious beef tenderloin, very special beef." Dramatic pause, huge smile. And I have a joke coming. "And I want you all to know that Bobby Kennedy, who's right here, personally ran over the cow in his car and cut it up, and he brought it here for you to eat." End quote. That was okay. You know, you got him. You got him. He's a weirdo. And then Trump tried to add a joke about raccoon penis, and he ruined all the momentum. He fucked up the raccoon penis joke, which is hard to fuck up.
Also, no, I want to tattle on Heath's impersonation of Trump just now was his impression of me when I think I have a good joke. And then get him in trouble. He's in trouble.
Yep. And also, Heath, I don't want to shit on your joke here, but Trump has actually passed several more cognitive tests since then. His doctors are apparently giving him one every couple of months now, just like they do to all mentally sharp people.
Just a normal cognitive, it's a wellness check, and he's acing all his wellness checks.
My Apple Watch does a cognitive test on me. Fills my cognitive test circle. Yeah, normal.
Yeah. Do you ace him? Probably not. And before we get to Donald's big close, I want to mention the biggest cringe of the night. And this was a pretty competitive category. So the Correspondents Association decided to have CNN's Wolf Blitzer present an award to a group of reporters from the Wall Street Journal for, quote, their courageous reporting on President Trump's past relationship with Jeffrey Epstein that triggered the release of the so-called Epstein files. They took the award, the journalists took the award, and then Blitzer went back to the podium and reminded everyone right away. He's like, Trump quickly filed a $20 billion lawsuit against the journal, revealing reporter Khadija Safdar's home address. Her family had to be relocated. The journal was kicked off Air Force One. So that was the end of the thing. Trump responded with a gesture of like, what are you going to do? And then we got another very long, awkward silence, except for crunchy salad guy, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that was only because Trump's mic wasn't on to pick up him saying, "Ain't I a stinker?" Which would have.
That was basically what happened.
God, it is rare for me to offer a slow clap to Wolf Blitzer. But way to remind everybody at the dinner that they're buddying up with an evil dictator hell-bent on destroying the Fourth Estate, though, right? At least they underscored it during the event.
It worked. Okay, so back to Trump's set for the finish. Earlier in the speech, he made sure to lie, of course, about the 2020 election, which was a natural segue to his jokey, but not jokey, idea of running for a third term. He did say, I'm joking, but I don't know if he's joking. And he came back to that idea at the end. And just like any great comedian, for example, Carrot Top, he closed it out with some prop comedy.
Gotta love the prop comedy.
He pulled out a red hat that said Trump 2028 and awkwardly crunched it over his fucking stem cell haircut with a big flourish. Like four people clapped, and the entire press corps just stared blankly into the distance in weird silence. And that was the big finale. That's how he got off stage as a comedian.
Yeah, his closing bit was to test the waters on a civil war. Did he not get the rights to Dane Cook suck my back? Is that what happened? He said, Dane said
civil
no.
war, huh? Who's to keep it though, going for Wolf Blitzer or whatever?
Would have been fucking hilarious if right after the joke bombed, Cole Thomas Allen had shot him from the back row.
Right? Right? See, that would have been good. Would have been
great
good.
Great comedy. Great time.
Next up in headlines. In
also, yeah, don't do violence or whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, 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 I mean, if it's funny, if the timing is good.
Everybody who ever wants like us to say Kurt that
guy,
means it.
Like, honestly, the Charlie Kirk guy should get, like, time off for the timing.
You know, like,
okay,
yes,
but it was
hey,
really funny time.
I'm cool with like an Emmy award, but like don't do that also.
I'm cool with him not getting away with it like Luigi's gonna. That seems like that's happening. I don't know because I'm not smart enough, but every time I read it, they're like, nah, you can't send him to jail for that. That seems fucking great. Mm-hmm. Cool. Bad
in
people
my
get
heart,
away with crimes all
in
the
my
time.
In my heart, I agree with you, that's but right. Also, I don't really. In my brain.
I just need your heart. I don't need your brain. Much like the men who pretend they don't think Lupita Nyong'o is attractive. I don't need your brain. I just need your heart and your penis. Next up in headlines in filling in the blanks news.
Eli just wrote his epitaph. It's perfect.
Correct. The president is such a prolific pedophile that his entire political party has agreed to pretend that aliens are real, and the government cover-up of those aliens is also real in hopes of distracting us. Now, I want to point out, it's not working. Nobody who didn't already believe in aliens started believing in them because of this hoax. And we all still remember the Epstein files. But
oh, shit! The Epstein
do you remember
files.
It?
Yeah, yeah,
do you remember
yeah, yeah.
those? See? No, we all still remember it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But as I told my business partners when I tried to get them to pay $12,000 to BMG Rights Management so Carl the Bug of Pegacorn could sing the entirety of Frank Sinatra's My Way on air. Sometimes you gotta commit to the bit.
It was and indistinguishable from the original. Carl.
Indistinguishable.
And Frankie. Mwah, right there.
Yeah, simpatico.
Yep.
And so the Trump administration are preparing the American people for the nothing that they have to show us. And we learned that this week that because they are running what they've got by none other than Dr. Phil. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, just in case we get a rebellious teen alien and a snit and we need to do an intervention. Cool. Mm. Cool. We got Dr. Phil. Also, not a doctor. He's not a doctor.
He sure isn't. Well, look, if you want an expert, though, on what's going to dazzle stupid white people, you could do a lot worse.
That's true. That's true. He does know his interventions there. Now, our American listeners are already intimately familiar with Dr. Phil, but for our international audience, first of all, bonjour. Second of all, Dr. Phil got his start pretending that the most racist thoughts of Oprah's audience were psychology, and his career has gone downhill from there. Nowadays, he mostly does crimes and is on Trump's Religious Liberty Commission.
Also does ride-alongs with ICE.
Right.
That was fucking crazy.
Right, yeah. Dean Cain's like, motherfucker didn't even have to do the obstacle course. Bullshit. This is bullshit.
Do you remember when the guy recognized him? When he's on the ICE ride-along and the guy getting arrested is like, you're Dr. Phil.
Dr.
And he's like, yeah, how do you know me? And the guy's like, I saw you on Dr. Phil.
You have a show. You have a show. Why are you here? For the fascism. Well, this week, El Doctor gave the UFO files a once-over to see how the American people will react, because the Venn diagram of people who are stupid enough to think Dr. Phil possesses psychological insight and people who are part of the Trump administration is one undisturbed circle.
Yeah, look, people who hear person, woman, man, camera, TV and go, yeah, I never thought about it like that. That's yep. the people we're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So we got this news during his appearance on the Fox News program Reality Check, which I assume got its name the same way a coat check gets its name. On it, Phil told the American people that, quote, I think the reason they're giving me access to this is because they want me doing exactly what I'm doing. I have maintained independence in what I'm doing. They're not scripting me. They're not telling me what to say and not say. And
like these words right now that I chose to say with my normal human mouth that I'm talking with now to answer your question. Who had a, somebody asked a question about lying. That was to answer your.
Yeah, right. You're literally a member of the administration. You're the lowest possible level of independence, you, yes, you dumbass.
Yes, you are. He then continued with the party line of propaganda, saying that there had been a government cover-up, that Trump had been treated like a temp employee.
He is a temp employee. That's how fucking elections work, though.
Spoilers. And that they, whoever they are, did not share full information with him, saying, quote, that infuriates me. How dare they do that? I don't think that's right. And I think we deserve better, end quote.
Also, I think they gave Trump a Fisher-Price walkie-talkie with maybe Grok on the other end, and he can't really tell that. That is condescending.
At least to give him a more accurate chatbot.
One last thing about this story. I want to give a shout out to The Independent, where I read it, for the way they chose to conclude, which was, quote, the administration has faced similar criticisms that it hasn't lived up to disclosure promises around the JFK, Martin Luther King, and Epstein files, end quote.
Oh, shit. And in the dire real world news, we should have known there was going to be a major problem when the most popular science show of the 2000s felt the need to put up a warning science content ahead disclaimer every time they were going to mention physics. But too few of us did. So now we're living through the consequences of a population that spent their youth dismissing science as nerd shit, slowly learning what science was doing this whole time in the most diuretic way possible. Which is why today we have to talk about measles outbreaks and diarrhea lettuce.
Well, maybe if Neil deGrasse Tyson had stopped to occasionally compliment me on school subjects I was good at, I wouldn't have rejected full fields of knowledge. That's on him for not saying how great I was as Tevye.
Okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson was on MythBusters? I didn't. Okay, today I learned.
I've never heard of that thing you said. Did they compliment me on my performance as Tevye? Is my question.
They did not. Yeah.
Well, that's.
Were you the first freshman at the high school to get that lead role
in the history of time? seems unlikely.
Yeah. Now will you learn about science? No.
So we're going to start with the diarrhea lettuce, because that's not something that can be saved for later. The phrase diarrhea lettuce entered the public lexicon on July 17th when the CDC announced that they had found the source of the explosive diarrhea epidemic that had been gripping the nation and or ungripping the nation. And at first, they specifically identified Taco Bell, likely because it was deemed the corporate entity least likely to take a financial hit by being further linked to explosive diarrhea. But the problem certainly wasn't limited to Midnight Moss. If it was, it honestly might have gone unnoticed.
Yeah, turns out that Taco Bell is just like 90% of American lettuce consumption. And
right.
It's only because we don't remember it's in there to say.
Yeah, and about 90% of the kale consumption is a decoration at the Pizza Hut salad bar,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. So it was one or the other between those two restaurants, yeah.
And I have to say, the timeline of this both literal and figurative shit is crazy. The CDC first started tracking this issue on June 22nd, almost a month before the source was identified. And as diarrhea tends to do, it spread quickly. But it still took 3 weeks for the CDC to sound a public alarm. Now, there have been a lot of allegations that this was purposely slow-walked because the owner of the farm it was traced to is a major Trump donor. All I can say for certain is that the farm owner is a major Republican donor, and it took a crazy long time for the CDC to make with the information that they clearly had by the end of June. But given that the Trump administration's incompetence is somehow vast enough to eclipse even its corruption, it's genuinely hard to say which is to blame here.
Yeah. And honestly, if it was on purpose, we would have seen a bunch of Republicans on Fox News like thanking Trump for the free colon cleanse.
So, no, that's true. You know, yeah. Right.
If shit in your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. I'm Jesse Waters.
But as of the time of this recording, there have been nearly 2,000 confirmed cases from just this outbreak, with almost 100 of those cases winding up hospitalized over it. Think about how bad your diarrhea has to get before you go to the hospital over it. But that's not all.
That's a crazy thought to me.
But that's not all, though. The FDA announced on Friday that they're tracking a new outbreak with at least 72 cases that's unrelated, but they didn't offer any details on the location or source. So we're all just playing a game of muffin roulette every time we eat at this point, which is a lot of fun. But even that's just a plop in the bucket of the true scope of this thing. Nationwide, the CDC is tracking over 11,500 cases of cyclosporiasis. And even by their own admission, that is a vast undercount of the real problem.
Yeah.
Hell, in the state of Michigan, Heath might be the only person who isn't currently explosively shitting.
Yeah, and that's only because he was on vacation while this happened.
Yeah.
Now that he's back, there's no way Pancakes Heath is resisting the bell for long enough to get caught. He's okay. Going down hard. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I get the grande meal, no lettuce. So,
okay, yeah. You should be fine.
That's discontinued, but I'm grandfathered in for the grande meal. But no lettuce.
He's back, Charlene. He's back.
No,
I'm not being firm with him. You come up here and tell him if you want. That's what I
You guys
thought.
Are shitting.
Get working on it.
Okay. But seriously, there must be like thousands of people on the shitter after Taco Bell trying to calibrate, being like, okay, that was just like medium explosive. I think I'm probably good. This was like a normal
This is
order.
Typical explosivity. Yeah, right. Now, of course, much like the explosivity of Taco Bell diarrhea, the baseline of this disease isn't exactly zero. The U.S. normally sees about 2,800 cases of cyclosporiasis a year. That's not counting Eli. And because it's a known problem, we have solutions in place in the form of monitoring systems and testing labs and a whole government department dedicated to exactly this sort of shit. We have way the fuck fewer of those things this year than we had in the past because Elon Musk and Big Balls came to the defense of their fellow parasites in the form of budget cutting and mass layoffs. Pre-Doge, for example, there was an office of 11 people whose whole job was to respond to cyclospora outbreaks. Post-Doge, that office was down to 3 motherfuckers.
Okay, but what a month those guys are having, right? They're getting more texts back than they've gotten all year. They're getting blind dates with models.
Just dropping into those hot zones, hazmat suit, arms akimbo like Superman.
Yeah, right,
step aside.
Yeah.
I'll handle this.
And
who doesn't
I'd rather not
about?
Handle this.
Yeah. That's why my arms were over here, actually. I don't want my hands to touch anything. And obviously, as bad as ass-sploding produce is, it's still relatively low on the list of dangerous shit the CDC is tasked with tracking. Right? It's just a canary in the coal mine shitting uncontrollably. There are plenty of other parasites you've never heard of just waiting to wreak havoc with your guts or worse. And keep in mind, just as one example, this is the same agency we count on to keep Ebola out of this country amid an ongoing uncontained outbreak in the DRC.
Cool.
Yeah, well, especially now that we're no longer a member of the World Health Organization.
Okay, but did the World Health Organization ever get a lot more generous with the fire sauce packets as an apology? No, they didn't.
And they didn't compliment your performance as Tevye. Yeah,
okay. That's right. Well, yeah, no, good point. So here's the thing. I was fine with this when it was just lettuce at the bell. But then we had a listeria outbreak, too. And now I have to worry about soft cheeses? Are you kidding? I'm eating nothing but semi-soft and hard right now, and it's fucking exhausting.
My jaw
exhausting.
Hurts.
I'm thinking about voting Democrat this time. I swear
don't
to God,
say
I'll do
that.
It.
Heath, don't say that.
But the CDC does have at least one advantage when it comes to government agencies. There is at least one level of leadership between it and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, I don't know that the vaccine denialist Trump is trying to install there's going to be any better, but at least at the moment it seems to be being run by a guy who believes in medicine, sort of. Not so much for the Department of Health and Human Services, where the whale beheader in chief has been excising public safety measures like raccoon penises ever since he showed up, which is the primary reason why we have seen more confirmed cases of measles in the last 2 years than we had in the 24 years leading up to them.
Yeah, and as though they heard Noah typing that sentence somewhere in Georgia, the CDC just announced that vaccines cause autism. Oh, so that's fun.
Okay, be fair. They announced that vaccines don't not cause autism.
Yeah, right, exactly. Honestly, if that had happened a day earlier, that would have been the fucking story. But yeah, so as of this recording, the CDC has confirmed 2,318 cases of measles in the U.S. so far this year. That is the most in any year since the virus was declared eliminated in the country back in 2000. And it's July.
That's not good.
Yeah. And the record that we just beat was last year's record.
Cool. Oh, we're like Katie Ledecky.
Yeah. It's a growth sector.
Yeah, right. So look, pre-Trump, we kept cases under 220 in years where there was like no Amish families going straight to Happy Fun Time Land from their trip to Zamboanga's city. And for those under the impression that measles is a mostly harmless condition, I need to emphasize that measles can cause brain swelling that leads to permanent problems like blindness, deafness, and intellectual disabilities, or permanent problems like death, sure, which was the case for two unvaccinated kids in the U.S. last year.
Yeah, someone should tell RFK Jr. that those kids also won't ever play baseball.
So, right? You know. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm busy posting old videos about my kayak barrel roll and that time I punched a yak in the face with my cell phone.
What the fuck is
seriously,
wrong with that man?
Seriously, he just did that. Like, I'm not making a thing up.
I mean, I don't think he actually punched the yak in the face. I saw the video. You can't.
He claimed, right. It's like off camera, but he claims he punched a yak in the face to save him and Cheryl Hines from a yak.
Standing behind a fucking fence, the yak wasn't getting in. See, if he did punch that yak, it was
do your fucking job. It's better that you don't
violence.
Do anything. I guess you're on Instagram instead of what you do at your job. But like, you're supposed to do your fucking job.
And look, I need to be clear that 100% of this falls at the feet of RFK Jr. and his anti-vaccine cohort. Under his leadership, the U.S. halted research on vaccine hesitancy and redirected those resources towards witch hunts for evidence that vaccines are harmful, and they even put up a fucking note about it on the CDC website about how maybe actually they do. And the people paying the price for that are overwhelmingly children, right? Children whose parents deprived them of vaccines or children too young to have yet been vaccinated. That is who RFK Jr. is putting on the altar of his ignorance, just to make that fucking clear to everybody who's setting this problem aside.
And in NSFW, not safe for whites news, conservative white people visiting the Smithsonian National Museum of American History were being assailed with American history. So Donald Trump made an executive order to place content warnings in front of certain exhibits. For example, anything that might reference that little stint with the human bondage that we all did for a little bit. Republicans are fucking delicate snowflakes who need
Aren't
to be
they?
Protected from the violent marketplace of ideas and things that happened in history. And Donald Trump is demanding trigger warnings, or maybe something that rhymes with that is what he said, but they landed on trigger warnings. I realize this might sound like Orwellian satire, and it is of itself, but it's also what really happened in our reality.
I'm picturing a plaque next to the informational one that just says, well, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I guess Trump figures that if heavy redactions and incomplete releases worked for the Epstein files.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this is the latest salvo in Trump's feud with the Smithsonian and with, you know, the concept of true facts more broadly. They conducted a whole set of hearings during which administration officials tried to, you know, grill the museum director, Anthea Hardig. And she responded by explaining how
knowing things
fucking history works. Yeah. Turns out history, it's just like the stuff we know because it was from before. Mm-hmm. Well, that was frustrating for them to hear. So the administration compiled a report of 162 pages detailing all the radical activist ideology that's infecting the History Museum and undermining faith in American institutions. It said both of those things in the report. And that seems to imply that Trump has faith in the institutions of antebellum America. And
yeah,
the executive order, it's calling for signage throughout the museum and the surrounding property that would, quote, notify visitors that the museum exhibits should be renovated consistent with the findings in the report and direct visitors to locations and resources for accurate information regarding America's history.
It's worth noting that if they had done nothing else, asking to redline the Smithsonian would still make Trump the worst president in American history.
Oh, my God. So, look, I'm afraid that the mutual space in the Venn diagram for people who are likely to believe the facts at makehistorygreatagain.gov and people who read the plaques on their visits to the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History doesn't have as much overlap as he's expecting.
Not so much.
Yeah, so not clear to me where the Smithsonian keeps the exhibits that they're talking about there with like the penny whistles and the red, white, and blue bunting and the kindergarten drawings of George Washington. But I guess we'll find out using the new signage where they keep that. Either that or the museum told Trump to go fuck himself. Almost exact quote. And now he's going to spend the next 2.5 years wasting time and money arguing about, I'm hoping, the malicious compliance versions of the signs that a bunch of professional historians come up with to go along with his dumbass executive order. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Prove to me that that's not what this cuneiform means. Prove to me that that's not, yeah, you're not on plank, but in cuneiform.
Just Steven Crowder at a table. Yeah. So I'm going to call bullshit on this whole thing, and not just for like the obvious reasons, although that's plenty. I'm calling bullshit on the idea that conservative white people are attending history museums or just museums. I don't think that's happening.
Sometimes it rains at their fair.
Sometimes they're directed by public safety officials. Mm-hmm. They have to go in a fucking museum. But yeah, Trump's basically saying, okay, when you really think about it, Republicans at museums in 2026 are the real victims of American slavery. And explaining how that's wrong feels way too generous. Mm-hmm. I'm rejecting the premise of those people at those museums existing. Or, you know, or they exist and I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about that. I want them to cry. Yeah. They should cry. They need to toughen up.
And in Kirkland signature news, podcast listener, part of the reason why we do these shows is that it can feel very lonely to be a sane person in the year of our Lord 2026. And for me personally, perhaps no recent moment was more alienating than when half of the country pretended that they really and truly cared about right-wing racist and most ironic death world champion, Charlie Kirk. It seemed, for one incredible
Emmy Award
moment,
winner, maybe, yep. Also.
It seemed for one incredible moment that the open-mouthed ghouls who had just voted for Donald Trump had spontaneously discovered empathy, the sacred, and knowledge of the feelings of others, and that we were supposed to acknowledge them with a quiet reverence because someone had died. Well, luckily for me, the American attention span is as short as it is stupid, and one of the con men who tried to profit off Charlie's temporary hero status has nobody to buy his dumb orange statue, so we're going to talk about it.
Okay, all I'm going to say right now, Eli has a birthday coming up.
I do.
And shit is going to get avant-garde if my offer goes through.
Beyonce, Beyonce,
on this,
Beyonce.
On this Charlie Kirk statue.
If we promise to turn this motherfucker into a fountain, we can crowdfund that price.
Yeah. So the sculptor in question is Italian-born Sergio Fumari. Feels like he would know how things go for the fascists, but what are you going to do? And apparently Funari wasn't even that big a fan of Kirk. He told The Guardian, quote, "Why am I making the statue? The same
voice.
Reason why Michelangelo did the Pietà, or Michelangelo did the David, or Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa. Why? Just to commemorate a moment, you know, a person," end real quote.
"I'm an old master like Michelangelo or da Vinci or..." Fuck, Michelangelo. God damn it.
I couldn't even think of the other turtles.
Amazing.
My God,
Shredder.
Man.
Yeah, So, according to Fenari, he spent over $100,000 of his own money on the masterpiece. And while he did start a fundraiser, hoping to raise $150,000 to erect it in Times Square on the anniversary of Charlie Kirk's death, September 10th.
Mom Donnie would be all about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's no hangups to that. You just need the $150. But unfortunately, that fundraiser is stuck at about $1,400 right now.
Oh, so close.
And it is possibly because it looks like one of those human statue guys in Times Square chose racism as his theme, but also it may be because nobody pretends to give a fuck about Charlie Kirk anymore.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of this thing that Eli put in the notes. If I saw this in Times Square, I'd put a quarter in a hat and I'd expect a guy in like metallic paint to fold over at the neck like a Pez dispenser.
Oh, there you go.
You know, a reward for my tip.
Well, listener, it would be genuinely hard to overstate how bad this fucking statue is, right? Like the sculptor was like really proud of himself for figuring out how to put wrinkles in the clothes. So everything he's wearing looks slept in. He's way too wrinkly. He's going for a contemplative impression, but it's much more defecatory. Like he ate the wrong lettuce. And the face is somehow fulsome and caricature at the same time. Well, that's true. Yeah. It also looks like he ran out of metal at a certain point, and he was like, well, nobody's going to notice if the torso's a little too short.
Yeah, it's bad. So Fumari is deeply confused that his masterpiece hasn't done better. He told The Guardian additionally, quote, I was thinking that it was going to resonate with the world, with whoever, but man, people are strange out there, meaning like nobody is really coming up with support, especially financial support. So far,
what other type of support was he expecting?
I guess he's not even getting emotional support for this shit.
An intricate system of trusses as a donation to hold
Tevye, on playing Tevye when you were a kid.
So far, he would never play Tevye. How dare you? So far, I've spent all my money on this. Things financially are a total absolute nightmare. It's like, wow, people are cheap, man. You know, people talk. I know lots of people out there and everybody's so cheap. You know, like, it's disgusting how cheap they are. Is it cursed? Maybe. I don't know. End of real word for word quotations again.
Hey, Sergio, check your inbox, buddy. I'm serious. 8 stamps on the club card. Put together
almost
a package
sandwich,
of an offer for you.
All right, so pretending the reason nobody is buying this hideous piece of shit is because they're cheap has a very she must be a lesbian vibe to
time.
It.
Big time, yeah. One last thing about this story. Fenari actually hasn't gotten nothing out of the statue. He did, apparently, break his foot while he was making it.
Oh, really?
And
phenomenal.
Tripped over a roll of tape. If it's anything like his subject, it was right after he said, not to me, I would never trip over tape. That's a thing black people do.
So I want to congratulate you, Eli, on getting the man's name right in that in the last paragraph. You actually finally got
Fenari. I got his name right.
Yeah, I don't think you did. And finally tonight, in a dope for Homer news.
Fantastic.
Thank you. The Odyssey is really fucking good. The movie, it's good.
It's pretty good
for
poem.
Christopher Nolan movie. The poem's fine, but the movie, Jesus Christ. No, it takes a lot of balls to take a story that's been beloved for 3,000 years and think, maybe if I punch it up a bit, but to take a 3,000-year-old story that's just been turned into a modern-day masterpiece by the heir apparent to Steven Spielberg and Alfred Hitchcock and think that you could do a better job despite having no filmmaking or even storytelling experience? Well, for that, it takes big balls. And luckily, Elon Musk has him on the payroll, so he announced that he's going to make his own The Odyssey with blackjack and hookers and a bunch of extra fingers because he's making his version with AI.
Okay. Listen, Elon, SpaceX is underwater by 40%. And you're mad at Poseidon. We get it. We totally get it. This isn't going to help you, man.
Okay. Don't worry, everyone. We've taken a page out of the Odyssey's book, and we've assured him that they say when they say nobody wants to see the movie, that we're referring to a Cyclops who works at Twitter. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, as you've no doubt heard, a certain element of the internet was up in arms about this movie way before it came out because it had the audacity to include a trans dude and a black lady. And
the
damn
prettiest black lady ever.
And well, they demand authentic Greeks in their Greek epics, damn it, like Matt Damon and Spider-Man. Plus, hey, if it was authentically Greek, it wouldn't have a bunch of gay shit in it, would it? And nobody's deep knowledge of classic epic poetry was more offended than that of Elon Musk, who once tweeted out the premise of the Aeneid, clearly thinking that he had just come up with that idea for the first fucking time. So he fired up Mecha Hitler and got to work.
Yeah, no, you gotta have realistic details, like the immortal nymph from the island near Libya, played by a white South African lady.
Yeah.
But the rest of the movie was like incomprehensible, just right. pulled me out when it wasn't realistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least he's working with an engine that can handle the ancient Greek age of consent, you know? Like he's really
right, no, yeah. yeah. Some of them would have trouble with that. So the world's first trillionaire and world's first ex-trillionaire has been a vocal critic of Nolan's casting choices, specifically the choice of Elliot Page to play the Greek soldier Sinon, a role he fucking crushed, by the way, and Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy, which she was fine as well. And once Nolan's he didn't give her anything to do. She did great with what he gave her.
Okay. No Illusions has a lot of things to say about Lupita Nyong'o. Sometimes we just don't say true things, even if they're true, because we agree with some random people.
More authentically Greek, she would have given
this guy. Well, no, that's true. Yeah, sure. But once Nolan's film opened to record box office numbers and nearly universal critical acclaim, Musk decided he's going to double down. He promised to make, in his words, a historically accurate version of Homer's epic by year's end.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we're all excited to see what historically accurate cyclopses and six-headed cliff dragons and cannibal giants look like, but there might be reason to doubt his timeline, most notably the fact that he has never met a publicly declared timeline in his life if a court didn't force him to do so.
My God, I love that panicky white people decided to pick this fight with the literal Odyssey.
Right.
That's their fight. That's the hill they decided to die on here. Now they have to pretend they don't want to see the biggest movie of the year based on the greatest story ever told. These people they're constantly whining about the erosion of, you know, Western culture. And they started a feud against the seminal work in that tradition.
Yes.
Can we make the Smithsonian frame some of Stephen Miller's tweets? They're all I have left, it turns out.
Now, luckily for us, Musk deigned to give us a foretaste of what we can expect from his AI slop odyssey, and it is the exact midline between 70s softcore and pepperoni hug spot. Like, honestly, I was almost too bored to finish the 3-minute preview, and I watch Christian movies for a living. I was like a minute 25 seconds in, and I'm like, I get it. I'm looking for a way to go to 1.5 speed on Twitter.
I think it's that X button at the top of the
right. No, that actually worked as well. And while I'll admit that he's at least chosen the correct AI if the goal is to make the white supremacy version of the Odyssey, I don't think he's chosen the right project if he wants to advertise his AI's movie-making tech.
It's just AI Charlize Theron playing every part like she said. Yeah.
Which is crazy because Scarlett Johansson offered to do that and they turned her down. She was in real life.
Weird. And like, just as an aside here, what makes Nolan's movie really stand out and hit so hard is, in my opinion, how sparingly he uses CGI. Right, his movie lives in his actors' faces. They're windblown and they're dusty and they're thirsty and they're real and the movie feels real for it. Jackasses like Elon Musk were stuck in the paradigm of spectacle and awe. Forget that anybody under 30 was watching more impressive shit in their Saturday morning cartoons than people me and Elon's age saw in our Hollywood blockbusters as a kid. That doesn't move the fucking needle for them. And anybody under 10 is going to grow up in a world where they can conjure that kind of shit on a whim. Right. So when I watched The Odyssey last weekend, a lot of what I was marveling at was all the human accomplishments that had to come together to make that work. And I just cannot imagine anybody having that same level of reaction to, like, man, somebody prompted the shit out of this. Call me crazy.
Just a paintbrush and a palette. Do another white lady in the thing.
Yeah. More Artiste. Whiter.
Good job. All right. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to No Illusions. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that. Please keep listening and please keep telling your friends. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skeptocrat. Just like Zill the Fay, GM, Liz Burns, Nathaniel Sheehan, Frankie Spurlock, Numa Tyson, Edward Bartlett, and Gianthony. You are the butter on a sandwich of people, and I love you all.
That's a suspiciously Lestragonian compliment for a man so tall that just got back from a trip to the Mediterranean.
Okay, Elon's version would never have a white guy playing the evil monster. Yeah. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, available in all the podcast places. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Till next time, catchphrase sign off.
I thought about stopping our show to be like, you motherfucker. I read Calvin and Hobbes every night. It's Susie fucking
Well, that's what
Durkins.
I was thinking, man. I was like, how and the fuck did you get this wrong?
That power bottom lesbian's name is
and
Susie
she's a
Dent.
White Greek lady.
Yes,
fuck you.
Exactly. Here's the thing about being mad about Lupita playing that part is you have to pretend she's not beautiful.
Like right, one of the most beautiful people of all time.
Which
yeah.
is so funny because right. your penis is lying. Your penis is like, hey man, I'm getting some of these crazy messages
hey, shut
from
up.
Upstairs.
Shut up. I'm trying to be a Republican.
What
fucking
are you doing?
Fuck you.
Hey, I don't care about any of these things you learned on Twitter. If we get a chance to fuck her, I'll kill every other organ in this body.
Okay, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. I was thinking about that too.
Probably best that only my dick survives. It's the rightest part of me.
Yeah, right.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and Thunderstorm LLC. Copyright 2026. All rights reserved.